The Jerry Bader Show.
.906, quick true or false, Jason? True or false, Aaron Rodgers will not play again this NFL season. True or false? True. Jason says false. I'm leaning true. Here's why. I think he's not nearly as far along in his healing as they've led us to believe. I don't think he's going to play Sunday. If he doesn't play Sunday, I think they lose even to what is appearing to be a pretty bad Dallas Cowboys team. At times, just a bipolar Dallas Cowboys team. I didn't think they would get beat that badly by the Bears. And quite frankly, to me, they look like they couldn't handle the cold. Well, this game is in Dallas. I don't think he's going to play Sunday. And here's the thing, as he said, it's not a pain management issue. And people are misreading that. He's talking about when he does football things, there is pain, you know, handing off, other than just standing there and throwing, simulating what he would do in a game, short of getting hit, of course. There is more pain right now than they would have hoped. It's not that he couldn't play through that pain. That pain is an indicator of the lack of healing that has happened thus far. Jason knows that all too well. He needs to be virtually pain-free as an indicator that that collarbone fracture is healed to the point where he won't do it serious damage, potentially, by playing. To me, he seemed to be conceding in his radio show, yeah, I'm not really close to that. He certainly wasn't last week, which he now admits. I didn't think there was any way that he was going to start. I thought that was smoke and mirrors. He seems to be telegraphing that there's no way he's going to start this week. If they lose this week and the Bears and Lions win, I know he's going to want to come back for the last two games. Jason says if the scan is good, then he will play. There's no guarantees getting a scan. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but he may not even be scanned from what I heard. Yeah. If. But I mean, for this scan to be good, there would have to be a scan. To me, Dr. McKenzie and the other doctors, it's not, you can just kind of hear it without hearing it. It's like, hey, this would not be smart. It truly would not. Speaking of not smart, I want to start here. There is a danger. Let me give you a couple of examples of something. In retrospect, and we're not talking about Obamacare right now, this is just an example. In retrospect, the 40-some votes in the House to repeal seem a bit misguided right now. Because you knew they were never going to go anywhere. They were exercises in futility. And then when you have an opportunity, when in fact, I think in 2014, early 2014, repeal might be a possibility, even in the Senate, depending on just how bad things go here with Obamacare. Latest numbers out, his ratings down, what, 39%, you know, down to 39%. He is approaching W numbers. Not quite, but he's headed in that direction. Obamacare is unpopular with that which he needs the most, the demographic 18 to 30. Repeal would have a lot more clout now if it hadn't been tried 40-some times. I'm just saying. When you criticize every little thing and make it a big, big deal, then when there is a reason to criticize someone, it's the same thing. Well, you always criticize him. Now, I think most of the criticism of President Obama has been warranted. I do think on occasion, conservatives have nitpicked at the little things that I've left alone. There are things that Rush and Sean and Levin, By the way, what's with the new bromance between Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck? He suddenly mentions Glenn Beck on his show all the time. Interviewed Glenn Beck on his TV show the other night. Whenever he would talk about the big talk show host before, he never mentioned Glenn Beck. He mentions him all the time now. I'm just wondering what's up. That's all, just a curiosity thing. Anyway, there are little things that those guys would nitpick on that I've left alone. And anytime you criticize President Obama, well, it's because he's black. You wouldn't do that to a white guy. And I and everybody else have said over and over and over and over again how stupid that is and how indefensible that is to suggest that. His behavior at the funeral of Nelson Mandela is the most unbecoming behavior of the leader of the free world since we have been calling the president of the United States the leader of the free world. Now, he's not alone in this. And if you're not aware, I understand that this has happened mostly online, and the mainstream media is not giving it much coverage because, well, you're never supposed to criticize him for what they perceive to be as the little things. At the funeral of Nelson Mandela, he, the Prime Minister of Denmark, and the Prime Minister of Great Britain, British Prime Minister Cameron, Prime Minister of Denmark, and it's notable in this story, who is an attractive 46-year-old woman. And President Obama took what is called a selfie. I learned yesterday that a lot of people don't know what a selfie is. More people than I would have thought, even in the younger demographics. A selfie is when you use your cell phone or iPod or iPad or whatever to take a picture of yourself. My wife is more into that, like at Packer games and such, than I am. She does a lot of selfies. So, honey, come here. You know, da, 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 da. Okay. At the funeral, those three look like three bored high schoolers at a funeral. In fact, I would expect three bored high schoolers to behave better than they did. Laughing, screwing around, and taking a selfie. Michelle Obama looked like the angry mom who was going to deal with them later, didn't she? You know what I told Jason off the air? It looked like an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. When he gets home, she's going to rip into him for acting that way in public. Yet, the mainstream media in this country, how childish in public does his behavior have to get? I haven't gotten to the Raul Castro handshake yet. We'll get to that. Here's Chris Saliza at the Washington Post defending him, but not admitting that he's defending him. You'll see what I mean. The handshake and the selfie on a day in which President Obama delivered a stirring eulogy for Nelson Mandela, the South African leader to whom he credits the origins of his political stirrings. Really? I thought that was Lincoln. Anyway, much of the media's attention was focused on two unplanned moments steeped, rightly or wrongly, with meaning by political observers. First was the handshake between Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro, repeated incessantly in video clips. As Obama made his way to the podium to speak of the memorial for Mandela in a Soweto soccer stadium, he walked down a line of dignitaries, greeting other leaders in attendance. Obama neither made a special effort to shake Castro's hand nor to avoid him. Nothing was planned in terms of the president's role other than his remarks, said Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes about the handshake. But Arizona Senator John McCain, Obama's foe in 2008, was quick to pounce, saying that Obama should not have extended his hand to Castro. McCain said it gives Raul some propaganda to continue to prop up his dictatorial, brutal regime, that's all. Taking a different tack, Senator Marco Rubio declined to criticize the handshake, instead saying that Obama should have taken the opportunity to press Castro on human rights issues. Rubio, of course, is Cuban-American. In his remarks, Obama didn't address Cuba or Castro directly, but did make references to leaders who don't respect human rights, words that could be read as implicitly addressing the Castro regime or any other. Then there was the case of the selfie seen around the world. While seated in the crowd at the Mandela Memorial, Obama was seen taking a self-portrait with British Prime Minister David Cameron and the Danish Prime Minister. I can't think of her name right now. And I would probably miss, Helle Thorning-Schmidt. And I'm telling you, they look like three bored teenagers at a funeral. Horseplay. And the mainstream media in this country, well, that's just his critics, again, overplaying every little thing, which takes me back to where I started on this. Some missteps have been a bit overplayed. Some have not. I think the bowing to other world leaders is ridiculous. The inappropriate gifts to other world leaders. This guy's a buffoon. This guy does not know how to act at a formal occasion or a solemn occasion. He's made that abundantly clear. However, and as I said, I've tried to be restrained. I have not ultra criticized him on some of these things the way other conservatives had. I think this was a president of the United States embarrassing his country, and I will admit the Danish Prime Minister and the British Prime Minister did the same. I admit that. But I think this was the most embarrassing moment for the leader of the free world since the president of the United States has been considered the leader of the free world, and that would be World War II and its successful conclusion for the Allies. George W. Bush was at this funeral. Imagine had he behaved that way, what the media would be doing with it now. If my daughters behaved that way at a funeral, they would have been grounded for a month. That a grown man who is perceived as a leader of the free world would act like a juvenile delinquent at the funeral of a dignitary is a shocking embarrassment to this country. And this is not one of those little things. He made an ass of himself. And in the process, he embarrassed America. Doesn't the left get embarrassed by anything anymore? If you have any thoughts on this, 406-1360, 888-455-1360, it's 919.
Things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.